Amen. So open up your hearts and receive Brother Joe as he comes. Come bring it, brother. Amen. The Lord already showed me. I mean, he's going to show up twice today. Three angels.
There you go. I like it. All right. Praise the Lord.
Somebody's going to grow a sixth finger out. It's going to be awesome.
Praise the Lord. We get together and we automatically start thinking crazy. So I don't know what it is. So I'm going to blame Pastor Jay. That's my disclaimer before I even start. Praise the Lord. No, we're so much family that we are so comfortable with each other. But man, as I get here, I think of how priceless it is to have a spirit of faith in your church. And your pastors have such a spirit of faith. I mean, as you go, the further and further you go, the longer you've been in this, you can see when people understand a spirit of faith and when they don't understand it. All it is a thankfulness that Jesus is alive and well. Reason why we worship, reason why, God, you guys worship a lot. Yeah, absolutely. You know why? He died for you. He gave his life for you. He was resurrected. So with that resurrection gives us all this dominion to decree over our own lives. I mean, you think about how blessed we are that we can dictate our future. In the past, we've all thought, well, God's in control. No, God's not in control. He turned the earth over to Adam, and Adam turned it over to the devil. It'd be wonderful if God was in control. Overall, he is in control, but he leased the earth out to Adam, and Adam leased it out to the devil. That's why you have to use your authority. Amen. And Jesus even told us in Mark 11:23, he said, you can use your faith for desserts, for figs. You can use your faith for obstacles, mountains. Mm-hmm. And he said you can use your faith for desires, three different things. Hmm. Two-thirds of your faith was just for dessert and desires. Hmm. One-third of your faith was for mountains. You don't even need all your faith to move a mountain. Good night, everybody. Drive safely. Come on. Amen. Am I in the right room? Praise the Lord. Now, I'm so glad to be here. I wish Colleen could have been with me. Her mother, Colleen, was coming. I bought her an airline ticket for her. Her mom got this poison in her eyes. And as the doctor says, the worst case he's ever seen. So my wife is taking care of her mom there back in Tulsa, or she would be here with us today. She loves Pastor Jay and Amy. And I love your pastors. I watched Lake and Summer here worshiping God on the front row. Doesn't get any cooler than that, does it? When you see kids lifting up their hands and worshiping. There was a young man years ago, a Rhema graduate. I went to Rhema in 1980. This guy was a 96 graduate, I believe it was. And in his home church there in Mobile, he was going to travel with me. And I watched him during worship. He'd never raised his hands. I said, you're never going to go on the road on me if you don't raise your hands. That's a representation of how much you love the Lord. Amen? Well, that went over real good. Good night, everybody. Drive safely. Wow, come on, start the car. I'll be right there. The next service, I saw that young man. He had his hands up like that, worshiping God, because he wanted to go on the road. Praise the Lord. He's pastoring a church now, doing great. So, man, I'm excited to be with you. What a time. I heard these words coming to me yesterday, the day before, and while I was praying in tongues driving over, I heard these words coming to me to go with what I was going to preach on today. And I don't think I've ever had these words come to me over and over and over again. Restoration of all things, restitution of all things. You're living when you're watching your dad get the earth set up for a restoration and a restitution of all things. I mean, the Bible says that Jesus, the heavens will retain him until the fullness of the Gentiles. Amen. You're watching everything come to pass that's set up for that. I mean, it's remarkable. We'll go through some of it today, but we're so privileged to watch more verses come to pass than any other generation. We'll look back on this little sliver of time and go, how could we have been alive when all of God's words are coming to pass? I mean, think in 1917, Israel gets a document called the Balfour Declaration to give them their land, restoration of their land. 1948, restoration of the nation. 1948, restoration of healing to the body of Christ, things that were lost. 1907, restoration of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Azusa Revival, that revival went all over the earth. People got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I mean, think about the charismatic renewal when Jerusalem was won back in 67. My mom was a part of that. We got kicked out of our denominational church because my mother got baptized in the Holy Spirit. They had a meeting to rewrite the bylaws to get her off the roll, and all she did was say, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. So a restoration of all those powerful things. And then after that, a restoration of the teaching of the Word. I think about where we are right now. This morning, I know some of you I don't know, but you know this morning, greater is he that's in you than he is in this world. You know that whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. You know that you've already been presented holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. So, man, if God be for you, who can be against you? So you're a generation that the heavens already spoken about. Daniel saw you. He said you'd know your God, you'd be strong, and you would do exploits. Thank God, heaven's already seen what you look like. That's that spirit of faith. A lot of people know the Word of God, but not the God of the Word. You get to know the God of the Word. You laugh at impossibility. You mock lack. You mock disease. Why? Because Jesus has already redeemed you. I'll say something T.L. Osborne always says, a doubter often prays for things they already possess. Well, once again, good night, everybody. Drive safely. Start the car. I'll be right there. Come on. Praise the Lord. Grab your Bibles, and you just turn wherever you think you ought to turn. We'll see if you're flowing. Praise the Lord. Now, let's pray, and we'll get right into the Word. I won't keep you long today. I want you to come back tonight to the meeting there in Lexington. Won't we have fun? Patsy, I went to Rhema in 1980, and that's the only person I knew. My sister had roomed with her and Annette Capps, and she has so many invitations, you know, that she could go anywhere, and it's so cool that while she comes from Australia to come to Lexington. So we're really, 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 really blessed. All my friends go, Patsy is coming to Lexington? I mean, they're like, because, you know, she has this big church asked her to come, this big church. And Lexington's a big church. I'm not saying that. I'm just meaning Joel Osteen asked her, Joseph Prince asked her, and she's in Lexington. So we're very, very blessed. Amen. Let's pray and we'll get right into the Word. Father, we love you. We love you. We honor you. We magnify you. We're in awe that Jesus gave his life for us, that Jesus, you let yourself be beaten. So this morning, we magnify the resurrection. We magnify that death could not hold you down. We magnify that you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Father, we now in this season in the earth see all these things coming to pass, pointing to the return of the King. So help us implement this this thought pattern before you return, displaying who you really are, that the world can see you, Jesus. Jesus, be high and lifted up this morning. Be magnified this morning. Be exalted in this room, Lord. We see you as God, King of kings and Lord of lords. And Father, as we approach these truths, we know they'll strengthen us, they'll encourage us, they'll change us, they'll alter us. We'll never be the same after hearing your word. We thank you for it. In Jesus' wonderful name, and everybody said amen. Amen. You know, it's weird how the most exciting thing for all of our lives is about to happen, and the devil's tried to promote it as being scary. I mean, the Lord coming back to the earth. The average thing that happens when Colleen and I will go into a conference, people will come up and go, well, you know what? I was afraid to come because I thought it'd be bad news. I even have pastors that go, I knew I was supposed to have you come. Now, listen, they go, I knew I was supposed to have you come, but I was dreading it. That's really fun to have the pastor say, I was dreading it. And pastors go, I feel light, I feel happy, I feel excited. So this is the whole purpose of what we'll get into this morning, is how we can see how close we are to seeing Jesus come back. It's just like a wedding. If you're standing here, if you're the groom, you're standing there, and your bride's walking down the aisle, could you imagine your bride walking down the aisle? Oh, my God, I'm getting ready to marry that guy. Hey, give me some heroin, give me something, give me some drugs. I mean, could you imagine your wife to be all depressed and all sad, on drugs, depressed, and going, oh, here we go, another one bites the dust. No, you'd want your bride to remotely be as happy as you are. To the point that when Colleen and I got married, the day we got married, there were all the ladies were in the house. We lived in an old house down by Utica Square in Tulsa. They were all getting their makeup on. I had my best man bring a gift from Tiffany's to my wife-to-be to surprise her and bless her. I understood that was an old tradition to do. So my bride-to-be is getting ready, and she gets some surprises. She gets a gift brought to her from Tiffany's, and then in the backyard, I have my best buddy playing the piano. He works for Kenneth Copeland. He's playing the piano, certain songs that Colleen's likes. So all of a sudden, she hears these songs coming from the backyard, and she has this gift brought to her from Tiffany's. Why? To anticipate what's getting ready to happen. Jesus wants to do some things because there's some things getting ready to happen. You're about to meet the King of kings and the Lord of lords face to face. We'll get into some things this morning that show us, man, we're about to see the King. And you talk about privileged. You talk about blessed. You talk about, we'll look back on this little sliver and go, my God, I was on the planet while the earth was getting ready for Jesus to present himself to his brethren, just like Joseph presented himself to his brethren. Everything you see right now is set up for that. I was in Israel last year, and the news came out. Jordan said, hey, Israel can't buy any more land in Petra. And that freaked me out. I thought, I know exactly why. Because the Bible says they go in the tribulation into Petra for safety. So you've got Israel buying up land right now. A few weeks ago, you had foxes show up on the Temple Mount. Freaked me out. Why? Lamentations 5:18 says, when you start seeing foxes on the Temple Mount, that means it's desolate and it's time for the third temple to be rebuilt. The rabbis in Israel are freaking out because they know the Messiah is about to come. Now, they're not even born again yet, but they know the signs of what they're supposed to look for before Jesus comes. Well, they don't know it's his second coming. They think it's first coming. One of my buddies in Israel said, I know when I see the Lord, I'm going to ask him, how do you like our country? Have you been here before? So, yes, he's been here before, and he died for us and was raised from the dead. Hallelujah. So, okay, Paul talked about the baptism 12 times, coming of the Lord 52 times. For every one verse there is about the first coming of the Lord, 8 times more about the second coming. So it should be overwhelming to us we're about to see the Lord. So let's go look at this. Go over to Isaiah. Grab your Bibles there. Buzz over to Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 46. Because we'll get into some signs today, and we'll get into some signals that are just absolutely crazy. The last signal I'm going to give you, you're going to, I did it in California, and they gasped. People went, ah! They sucked air out right out of the room. So we'll have fun. Here we go. Isaiah 46, verse 9. You know the verses so well. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old. I'm God. There's none else. I'm God. There's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So this is pretty crazy. He said, this is how you can tell I'm God. I'll tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Now, why is that a big deal? No other religion can do that. You can talk to a Buddhist. You can talk to a Muslim. Their book doesn't give you future. This is the only book that gives you future. So God says, you want to see if I'm authentic? I'll tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Let me read to you. You've heard this before, but it's a lot of info. Listen to the first 10 names of guys in the Bible. Adam means man. Seth means appointed. Enos means mortal. Canaan means sorrow. Mahaliel means the blessed God. I know you'll all remember all this. Jared means shall come down. Enoch means teaching. Methuselah means his death brings. Lamech means despairing, and Noah means rest. Put them all together. Man is appointed mortal with sorrow. The blessed God shall come down teaching that his death brings the despairing rest. Gives you the entire plan of redemption with the first 10 names of guys in the Bible. Because he said, I'm God. I'll tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Ezekiel prophesied the very year Israel will be made a nation. Gabriel told Daniel the year Jesus would come, came exactly to the year. Pretty flawless. So what's cool about that is you can trust him. Amen. You can take him at his word. I mean, if he's that flawless, think of all the other words he's spoken about you, and you can relax. He's watching over it to perform it. Think of what he's watching over to perform. You're blessed. You're a conqueror. Amen. And he didn't even say you're a conqueror. He said you're more than a conqueror. So let's go to Luke, and let's look at some of the signs. How many of you are still glad you came? Yeah. How many are glad you're here and you're not in jail? That usually gets pretty much everybody. So let's go to Luke 21. How can we tell how close we are? Because this is the consensus. Now, don't get mad at me. I may kick over some old sacred cows. But my brother-in-law, my sister's a doctor down in Louisiana, and my brother-in-law, he's never been to church his whole life. He says, well, you can't tell when the Lord's coming back. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. You can't spell Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you're going to tell me when the Lord's coming back? The consensus has been you can't tell when the Lord's coming back. But why would God go to so much trouble to give you verse after verse after verse and sign after sign after sign to show you how close you are? So you'd be excited and you'd be happy, just like the woman walking down the aisle to get married. It didn't catch her by surprise. She didn't go, oh, wow, here, we're about to say our vows. No, there was a lot of stuff that went into getting ready for that. And it's just like this. We're going to get into some signs today about the second coming. If you're driving from Lexington, where I was last night, to here, the signs told me I was getting closer to Danville. Maybe it's 42 miles, something like that. Next sign says 30 miles. Next sign says 20 miles. Next sign says 10 miles. You don't freak out and go, I'm never going to get to Danville. The signs told you how close you were. The signs were to bring you peace. Like, because at first I was trusting my GPS and I didn't see any physical signs for Danville. I thought, man, I sure have hope I'm going the right way. And then I saw a sign that said Danville pointed right there. I said, here we go, I'm going the right way. So the signs are there to bring you ease. Yes. Okay? So let's go look at these. Look at Luke 21. Buzz over there, if you would, to Luke 21, and look at verse 24. Jesus is going to tell us some precise stuff that make it easy to understand how close we are to his return. I'm saying that because the consensus is you can't tell when the Lord's coming back. Well, it'd be just like driving from Danville to Lexington. You can tell how close you are because of the signs. So watch what Jesus does. He gives us some information to look at. So look at verse 24 of Luke 21. They'll fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive unto all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down or overthrown of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Now, that's pretty bold. He said, hey, when you see the Jews get Jerusalem back, time's up. Now, when did that happen? 67. It's called the Six-Day War. The miracles that happen, I've probably told it 20 times here. The miracles that happen are so amazing. You remember the Egyptian the Egyptian commander that came down with 88 tanks coming toward Israel. One Israeli cook doesn't even know how to fire a shell, climbs in a tank, and he loads a shell into the turret. Could you imagine never firing a shell before, and you climb in a tank, you're going to fire shells at 88 tanks coming at you? So that cook's sitting there going, let's see how we do this. He's getting it all set up, starts firing shells at the 88 tanks. One Israeli tank, 88 Egyptian tanks, okay? Next thing you know, the Egyptian commander comes out in the morning with a white flag. He said, I'm here to surrender to the highest ranking officer. And the Egyptian commander said, highest ranking officer, it's just me. He goes, oh, no, it's not just you. The whole night, the countryside was filled with tanks, with men dressed in white. You've been shelling us all night, and we can't take it anymore. It's called a miracle. So, see, Jerusalem was won back. There's many more miracles. You could get into tons more. You can look at them on YouTube. You can Google the guy that I just talked about. Listen to what he said on YouTube. He goes, I don't even believe in this stuff, but something happened. He didn't believe afterwards, much less before. So it's called a miracle. Jerusalem's won back. And Jesus said, when you see that, time's up. That's so bold. Look how sweet the Lord is to point it to a city. Remember, if you live west of Jerusalem, you read left to right. If you live east of Jerusalem, you read right to left. Everything goes back to that piece of real estate. The devil's so stupid, he puts mosques everywhere in Jerusalem where Jesus did something cool. There's a mosque right over there. What happened? That's where he's raised from the dead. There's a mosque right over there. What happened there? That's where he was beaten. There's a mosque right over there. What happened? That's where he was. The Mount of Ascension was. The devil's so stupid, he thinks he can cover it up. All he does is give you a tour guide. Nobody even has to tell you where to go. You go, something cool must have happened right there. Something cool must have happened right there. You can go up in the Dome of the Rock on the Temple Mount, and in Arabic it says in a circle, there is no Son of God. There is no Son of God. Why? There is a Son of God, and he gave his life for you. He was raised from the dead. Hallelujah. So you see everything tied around that city. The Bible said Jerusalem would be a cup of trembling for all nations. This is how weird it is. They want to make Jerusalem an international city. The day our country, God, I can't believe we'll get into all this, but hang with me, passed same-sex marriage. Same day, our Supreme Court passed, this is a few years ago, that if you're born in Jerusalem, you don't have Israel on your passport. Our Supreme Court, the United States of America, said if you're born in Jerusalem, you don't have Israel on your passport. That'd be like saying you're born in Washington, D.C., you're not American. How crazy is that? See, that's insane. Well, see, like the Antichrist, the Bible says he's going to try to change laws and dates and times. They're trying to take Jerusalem away from the Jews. They want it to be an international city. 2 weeks ago, the president of Turkey said, let's call on Islam. 2 weeks ago, the president of Turkey said, let's call on all of Islam to ascend the Temple Mount and take Jerusalem from the Jews. So, see, there's that verbiage, take it away from them, because Jesus tied everything to Jerusalem. So how blessed are we that while you're alive, you talk about the restoration of all things, the restitution of all things, they got Jerusalem back. We should be shouting. We should be freaking out. We should be thumping our neighbor, man. I'm about to see the king face to face. How cool is that? So then the Lord's going to get even more detailed. Watch what he says in verse 29. I know you know this, but I want to get to some signals here in a second, so just hang with me. Look at verse 29. Jesus says here, look at Israel, the fig tree. Pretty amazing that Israel would be your timepiece. Why? Why is that a big deal? Because God's regathered them in your lifetime. Hitler killed 6 million Jews right before they're regathered, thinking he could keep the word of God from coming to pass. Couldn't do it. So right while we're alive, Israel regathered them in our lifetime. How cool is that? Because you know what? You can have a miracle happen. I remember a service I was in Topeka, Kansas years ago. The youth group was talking while I was preaching. I couldn't get them to stop talking. So I walked back there to them while they were talking, just thinking I could get them to stop. And while I walked back there to them, they still kept talking while I was with them. And I thought, well, that didn't work. So then I said, okay, everybody under 21, stand up. This is in a Church of the Nazarene, Topeka, Kansas. I said, everybody under 21, stand up. They did. And I said, you guys got to be paying more attention than everybody else, because the Bible says the young will respond for what we will. And they still talked while I had them standing up. So that didn't work. I thought, man, that didn't work very good. But then I had a word of knowledge. The Lord said someone had damage in their knuckles. I'm thinking arthritis. This woman came walking down. She had one finger like this. These fingers were severed off right there. I said, Lord, that's not what I'm thinking. I'm thinking sore knuckles, not severed fingers. Well, you know, he doesn't faze him. I said, I thank you, Lord, for your name. I even talked about the name of Jesus. I said, the name Jesus means wonderful, means miracle. When you say Jesus, you're saying divine intervention in the ordinary course of nature. So I said, Lord, thank you for new fingers for this lady. Boom, her fingers grew out. The youth group, you didn't have to tell them to get quiet. They knew that lady. They were talking the whole time they were standing up. They saw that lady get her fingers. They shut up just exactly like that. There's something about the awesomeness of God that causes people to get reverent. Yeah. Well, that was cool, and that was great for Topeka, but, you know, people in Los Angeles don't know about that. People in New York don't know about that. People in Louisiana don't know about that. But see, God's so sweet and so cool, He regathered a whole nation in your lifetime. The one thing in Scripture He said we would say He can't do, He's already done it. And that was regather them. So that's why Jesus makes a big deal out of that. He regathered them while we're alive, 1948. How cool is that? So it is a restitution of all things. It's a resurrection of the nation of Israel just after Hitler killed 6 million. Wow. And you'll notice in this dispensation, Germany killed 6 million Jews and prospered because God's not mad at anybody right now. That's why the church has to be taken off the earth. You have so much authority. He's got to go back to Old Testament time. God's got some things to do. He can play rat-a-tat-tat with his baseball bat after we leave. Amen. So you're watching the earth get ready for that seven-year period. So that tribulation, we think of it as judgment. Really, it's God's pressure on people to get them to make a decision. Because some people wait till the last minute to make a decision. I remember in high school, I did this not once, did it many times. When I'm dating girls, I had a certain spot I would pull over while we're dating, and I would take out fireworks out of the trunk, and I'd shoot fireworks off. Because I'd say, you can't say you didn't go out with me and didn't see fireworks. I didn't do it once. I did it over and over and over again. You do whatever you got to do. Praise the Lord. But see, God's getting ready to give the earth some fireworks, 7 years of fireworks, just to get their attention. So you're watching God, you're watching the mercy and the compassion of our Father set everything up for all of a sudden the Jews to come to the forefront, the church to do its job right here at the very end, and all of a sudden Jesus come back for His church and then come back at the second coming and stop war. Every movie you see where the hero comes in at the end, they get that from the Bible because Jesus is going to come back and put His foot right there on the Mount of Olives, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You talk about stopping war. Wow. Going to be awesome. So everything that you're seeing right now is a setup for that seven-year period when we're not here. Everything that's happening in Turkey, listen to this, Saudi Arabia and Jordan all of a sudden became friends with Israel last year. Last year. Why? Because the Bible says they don't attack Israel in the Ezekiel 38 war. So you're watching nations do what the Bible said they would do just before the king comes back. Pretty crazy. Ezekiel prophesied there'd be fish in the Dead Sea. Guess when that showed up? This year, 2019. I mean, it's just pretty amazing. All right, let's go a little further. Hang with me. Run back to your Bibles there. Go back to verse 29. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. Verse 30. When they now shoot forth their bud, you see and know of your own selves that summer or harvest is nigh at hand. I like this. He said, you could see and know of your own self. Someone doesn't even have to tell you. And then he said, likewise, when you see these things come to pass, freak out. No. He said, when you see these things come to pass, no. Notice that. When you see these things come to pass, no. When you see these things come to pass, no. Know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. So why is he telling us these things? So you can know this. Not wonder, not sense. You can know it. I mean, the spring, I live in Tulsa, and in the fall, the grass turns brown, the trees turn brown. It just looks dormant. But all of a sudden, come March or April of every year, the grass starts turning, the trees start turning. No one has to tell you spring's coming. The nature's preaching to you there's a temperature change. Could you imagine somebody coming out and go, hey, summer's not coming this year? Well, yeah, it is. Look, the trees just turned. The grass just turned. Likewise, just as bold as you are about that, be just as bold when you see Israel made a nation and you see Jerusalem on back, you can know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. And then look what he said. Look at the next one. You ready for this? Look at verse 32. You got your Bibles there? Look at verse 32. Verily I say unto you, this generation will not pass away till all is fulfilled. Wow. What generation? The one that sees Israel made a nation and Jerusalem won back. So whether we are comfortable with it or not, we're tag, you're it. Yeah. I hear people go, I don't believe it. It don't matter. I hear people say, I'm not comfortable with that. It don't matter. I mean, Jesus made it so plain, if you're around to see those two events, you're the generation He's coming back. But let's get into a little bit more detail. Watch this. He said, you could see this and you could know this. Look at verse 30. When they now shoot forth, you see and know. Kenneth Hagin used to prophesy about a spirit or an attitude of seeing and knowing on the church. Where'd that come from? That verse right there. All right, hang with me. Let's get into some math for a minute. 1917, Allenby, an Australian general, flies into Jerusalem. They'd been passing out leaflets. Allenby's coming, Allenby's coming, Allenby's coming. You know what the leaflet said? Allenby's coming. You know what that meant in Arabic? A prophet sent from God to deliver you your land. So he flies in a biplane. They've never seen a biplane before, but they have these posters everywhere. A prophet sent from God to deliver your land. They didn't fire a shot. No one even. They dropped their weapons, and right then the land was turned over to Israel. Same year, Kenneth Hagin was born. The Lord appeared to his mother, said, "Hey, name your son John. He'll have a part in getting the earth ready for the second coming of the Lord." She said, "I don't like John, I like Kenneth." So she named him Kenneth Hagin. Don't you love that? You want to get it even crazier, look up Hagin in the Hebrew. You know what it means in the Hebrew? One to go before to prepare people for the coming of the Lord. I'll preach in Rhema, Germany next month in October. There are 10 different schools coming from all over Europe, preaching Rhema Norway, Rhema Italy, Rhema Australia, Rhema Bangkok. Name a country where Brother Hagin's message hasn't gotten to. No fanfare, zero fanfare. Sowing the word, sowing the word, sowing the word, changing people. Germany, the first years I went there and preached in the Bible school, the people were so completely, absolutely lost as a goose in a snowstorm. This last year when I did Gifts of the Spirit there, you'd say, "Let's worship God." All these people start worshiping God like you can't even stop them. Set on doing the will of God. Amen. It would shock us if you could show a video. It just freak you out. That's Kenneth Hagin's ministry. You want to get even crazier than that? Now, that's pretty wild. But, you know, when Mark Brzee, hang with me. Everybody want to get a little bit more info about this? It's pretty cool. This is really cool. When Mark Brzee, which the two people that probably were the closest to Brother Hagin were Patsy Caminiti and Mark Brzee. Mark started having these prayer meetings in the early 90s to start doing Bible schools all over in Europe. And the prayers were all praying out John's legs to the east, talking about Brother Hagin's ministry into maybe Estonia, maybe Latvia, maybe Russia, maybe Germany, maybe France, maybe Italy. So they all started doing those prayer meetings. And you know what? So all these Bible schools came out of those prayer meetings. The last names of each one of the persons, listen what they were. John and Michelle Grunewald went to Germany. That's my sister, Michelle. Patsy and Tony Caminiti went to Italy. Tim and Vicki Kilstrom went to Sweden. Chuck and Sheila Banks went to England. Every one of their last names were indicative of the nation they went to. John's legs to the east. So you got Brother Hagin's message getting up with zero fanfare going all over the earth. If you looked at all of it, you just sit there and go, only a God could pull that off. So what that did was get all these pastors raised up to train us who we are in Christ and the nation and the continent get ready for the coming of the Lord. How crazy is that? So that's pretty nuts. Jesus said, when you see those two events happening, you're it. So let's talk about some of the others. I know you know all these, but it's good to go through them some more. What's the next sign? Because the signs bring you peace. What's the next one? Hebrew language restored. Think about it. The Bible says right before the coming of the Lord, he'd restore to them a pure language. Okay, 100 years ago, no one spoke Hebrew. Now everybody speaks Hebrew. I was on the boulevard, Eliyahu Ben Yehuda Boulevard, where he said, you know what? We used to speak Hebrew here. We should do it. Because God said right before the coming of the Lord, he'd do that. So you're watching our dad bring things to pass that were prophesied thousands of years ago. When did they happen? While you're alive. The next one would be the Ethiopian Jews brought back. 18,000 airlifted in one day. These C-130s flew right down into Ethiopia and brought them all out. 1992. Chuck Roberts on CNN Headline News said an exodus that eclipses the book of Exodus. Listen, when CNN's bragging about what God's doing, you better look up. The Lord's coming back. So it's so blatant that a guy has to say an exodus that eclipses the book of Exodus. So you got the language restored. You got the Ethiopian Jews brought back. The next one would be the revival of the Roman Empire. This one's pretty amazing because you got the EU. Now, what's amazing is on their money, you have the woman from the book of Revelation on their money. You can go to the Capitol building in Strasbourg, France. You should Google it today. The Capitol building in Strasbourg. You know what it looks like? It's not similar to the Tower of Babel. It's identical to the Tower of Babel. You can go in the building and the markings on the wall are all from Nebuchadnezzar. They don't even know what they're doing. They're basically rebuilding that system. If you read their slogan, we'll be our own gods. We don't need God. It's horrible. The art out in front of the building is a molecule of iron because Daniel saw iron and clay. So that system's been reestablished while we're alive. I mean, so you got event after event after event showing us how close we are to the coming of the Lord, because God said that's what would happen. I mean, you talk about a platform for the Antichrist. I mean, the Pope twice, even before the Pope we have now, said it's time for one world religion, one world monetary system, and one world ruler. So there's that pressure to bring in this ruler called the Antichrist. So his system's there, the EU, United States of Europe. You know, on the History Channel a few years ago, this is pretty crazy. A bishop in 1129 AD named Bishop Malachi, they call him Malachi, he had a vision of every pope all the way up to the coming of the Lord. 112 he saw. Now, what he saw was not just their name, he saw their coat of arms. I mean, it'd be one thing to say Lake Atkins. Well, you know what? Also, it said Lake Atkins. He's a preacher. He's a 14-year-old living right before the coming of the Lord, living in Danville. And it'd be one thing to get his name. It'd be one thing to get a whole system of stuff about him. This guy got the coat of arms for every pope. He's batting 1,000. He got 112 out of 112. Guess which pope we have right now is 112th. Now, the church didn't talk about that. The History Channel talked about that because it's so remarkable that you can bat 1,000. In baseball, if you bat 3 out of 10, you make a pretty good living.
Yep.
This guy got it 112. So you have all these tangible physical things you can look at, because people go, I had no idea the Lord's coming back. And the Lord goes, well, I brought Israel back to their land. I got Jerusalem one back for you. I even gave them their own language. And then I brought the Ethiopian Jews back. And then I made a whole platform for the Antichrist and told you ahead of time what it'd look like, so when you got there, you'd be bolder than you've ever been.
Yeah.
That you wouldn't come to church and go, I don't know if I believe that. Really? How many signs do you need? I constantly have people come up to me and go, I don't know if I believe that. Okay, here we go. Praise the Lord. No, come on. It's like, seriously? There's so many more that is crazy. When we get to the signals, it gets even crazier. So you have all that happening. Then you have the fertility of the land of Israel. God's so cool, he's going to have the dirt preach for him.
Yeah.
I've told you, I've been up on the Golan Heights. You can see Damascus. Now, man, I don't have time to get into this, but does anybody want to hear this? Anybody want this? Okay, I guess I'll go over here. I'll go to this side. So what happens is you got Iranian missiles every week being smuggled into Syria, brought into Damascus. In the last 5 weeks, Israel's had to go take out about 15 times, go fire missiles from F-16s to stop these Iranian missiles that are right on Israel's border. Where are they located? Damascus. Isaiah 17:1 said Damascus will be removed from being a city. So you got tangible things happening that are getting ready to happen right in front of our eyes. So I was back to the fertility of the land of Israel. We'll go back to that. You can go up on the Golan Heights. You can see Damascus. You can see Syria. You can see, hear feedback. And the grass is so green, no one has to tell you where Syria is. The grass is so lush in Israel, I have to use Scott Super Turf Builder 4 times a year. And I even called Scott's and told them, hey, your stuff's not working very well anymore. And they said, yeah, this is what the lady told me. That's exactly right. We detuned it. So I've got to use more Scott's to get my grass to remotely look like Israel's grass. I said, do you guys sprinkle it? Do you fertilize it? He goes, we don't fertilize it. God's word said, I'll make the land so blessed it'll be obvious to you that I'm God. It's so night and day, no one has to tell you. You can go into Jerusalem, you can go into the Arab quarter, it's so nasty and so dirty. You look at the Jewish quarter, it's so perfect, so flawless. If you didn't have any brains at all, you go, I don't want to be like them, I want to be like those people. So God's making a spectacle of his word and his truth prevailing right before the entrance of the king. Now that's pretty radical. The fertility of the land of Israel. Mark Twain was there. Gosh, I could preach about a couple hours on that, and I never do. His name is actually Solomon. Mark Twain was there in the late 1800s. He said, the land is so desolate, it will not support life. Yet now Israel produces 90% of the fruit for all of Europe. Let's say this morning I ate a pear made in New Jersey, ate a banana made in New Jersey, ate an apple made in New Jersey. Man, what's up with New Jersey? Israel's the size of New Jersey and produces 90% of the fruit for the whole continent. Pretty crazy. All right, let's get into a couple more. I know you all know these, but they're just showing us how close we are, because I want to get into the signals. I was watching the Animal Planet channel. I'm a ESPN guy. I'm not an Animal Planet channel. But anyway, I was watching it. I think it's the Lord wanted me to see it. This Israeli ornithologist was on there. The only reason I know what an ornithologist is, my brother was once a bird specialist. Studied birds for 9 years. My dad, he went to college for 9 years to study birds. And my dad asked him, what'd you learn? He said, I learned how to play poker. But anyway. So this Israeli ornithologist is on there. So my ears perked up because that's what my brother is. And she said, we have the largest gathering of predatory birds ever in history. 172 different species of predatory birds. She goes, we don't understand this. Now, I kind of freaked out because I read the Bible. And after the Ezekiel 38 war, God calls on the fowl of the air to come clean the land up. 7 years later, at the Battle of Armageddon, he calls on the fowl of the air to come clean the land up. So you got the cleanup crew in Israel right now. So, I mean, you can't get any more blatant than God. I mean, in Noah's day, they probably thought Noah was crazy, but all of a sudden when the animals started lining up, they probably thought, something's up. That's supernatural. I can hardly get my dog in my truck, much less get animals to line up and get on a boat. Could you imagine? Step right over the little embarking thing here. Here you go. Where's your tag? Come on. So you got Israel brought back. You got the language brought back. You got the fertility of the land of Israel. You got birds there ready for what's going to happen after we leave. You got fish showing up in the Dead Sea. You got foxes on the Temple Mount. You got Aerosmith Steven Tyler got born again. Come on, when Aerosmith's getting saved, you better look up. The Lord's coming. You know who got him born again was Lenny Kravitz. Evangelist Lenny Kravitz. Think about it. So you got the Lord doing stuff all over the earth right now. It's pretty amazing. If you got into all the stuff, there's just not time. Men will be lovers themselves. We have selfie sticks. I was in Los Angeles. This guy almost got hit by a car. He had two selfie sticks taking photos of himself. Can you imagine? You ever thought of a time where, pause and take a few more photos of me? That's what the Bible said you'd see. All right, so there's many more signs. Let's talk about the signals because I want to get to the last signal here in a second because it's so crazy. It's like, I'm like, seriously? This is nuts. All right, so you had blood red moons on Passover and Tabernacles. We all knew about that. That was about 4 years ago. Pretty amazing, though. Blood red moons on what? Passover is when he died for us. What's Tabernacles? He's going to come back and tabernacle with men. So the heavens are signaling, I died for you, I'm coming back. I died for you, coming back. People say, well, nothing happened. Well, it's not supposed to. It's an indicator, just like when you're going to turn, you put your blinker on. You're indicating you're about to turn. You can't get much bolder than the moon turning blood red, though, on the day Jesus died for us. Turning blood red on the day that he's going to come back and tabernacle with men. You talk about how kind the Lord is. Wow. So NASA calls that a tetrad. Four in a row. When's the last time you had four in a row on Passover and Tabernacles? 1967 when Jerusalem was won back. 1948 when Israel's made a nation. 1492 at the Edict of Expulsion when the Jews were kicked out of Spain. I mean, the gap between the last two was 19 years and 48 years. I told the Lord, you're just showing off now. So that's pretty radical. Oh, it doesn't mean anything. It's just a coincidence. Yeah, whatever. All right, then after that, you have the Bethlehem Star. The Bethlehem Star, we don't hear a lot of preaching about that, but you know what the Bethlehem Star was. Remember, we've all seen the Magi. We've saw how the Magi, they rode by camel for 700 miles. I've done motorcycle rides. Could you imagine telling your buddies, we're going to ride for 700 miles, and then we're going to see three planets come together. It's going to be a cool star. My buddies would say, it better freaking light the whole planet up. If I'm going to ride by camel for 700 miles, they'd kill me if it wasn't over the top. You know what I'm saying? You go, look at the stars. I don't see. My buddies would go, it better be the coolest thing we've ever seen in our lives to ride by camel for 700 miles. Well, they did. They got there. All of a sudden, Jupiter, Regulus, and Venus came together. Jupiter, king planet. Regulus, regal, king planet. Venus, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Venus is a mother planet. All three of them came together at the birth of Jesus. Guess what the constellation was? Virgo. All right, this last year, NBC Nightly News. See, we had a celestial event. Lester Holt on NBC Nightly News. He says, we got Jupiter, we got Regulus, we got Venus. I'm like, oh my God, I know what that is. That's the Bethlehem Star. First time in how long? 2,000 years. First time in 2,000 years. What was the constellation? Leo. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. Then you had Mercury do a flyby of the sun. Does it five times in a century. Went down directly over the Temple Mount at sundown. The planets formed a sickle. The moon formed a sickle. Orion changed its instrument to hammer. You had hammer and sickle on the same day. What's that? That's Russia's symbol. So see, God's trying to tell the Jews, you're getting ready to go through the threshing floor. Now that's pretty radical to have the heavens going like this. And the whole purpose, why does the Lord want to get into all this? Because he loves you. He loves you so much, he wants you to have a heads up. And that's exactly what he said. When you see these things, lift up your heads. Your redemption is drawing nigh, indicating you could be downtrodden. Just like I talked about the woman. Can you imagine Colleen walking down the aisle? I'm standing there. I'm just getting ready to marry her. And she's walking down the aisle. Oh, my God, here we go. No, the Lord wants the church so filled with expectation, so filled with joy, so filled with strength that people think something's mentally wrong with you. You're so happy. Could you imagine Colleen walking down the aisle and people go, "Could you see? Do you see how depressed she was?" No, a wedding should be marked with great joy. That's why all this information God put in here so we'd get it. Now, Hank, let me give you one more real cool because I want to land on this as we go. Because I want to hammer this home for a little bit, and I'll sing my last couple signs. You know it's powerful when there's singing going on. Or I'll do Yoda. Judge me by my size, do you? Where with your weapon, I mean no harm. When you're doing Yoda and you're singing, you're doing Elvis, you know the Lord's trying to get everybody's attention, okay? Listen to this last one. This one's kind of crazy. You hang with me for a couple more minutes. Everybody with me? Okay. It doesn't really matter if you like this or not. These are facts, okay? So don't get mad. Don't shoot the messenger, okay? January 21st of this year, I was preaching in Birmingham, Alabama, and there was a blood moon, wolf moon, super moon. That was President Trump's midpoint of his presidency, okay? Blood moon, wolf moon, super moon. When Trump was born, there was a blood moon, okay? 700 days later, Israel's made a nation. When Trump was elected, Benjamin Netanyahu had been in office 7 years, 7 months, 7 days. When Trump was inaugurated, he was 70 years old, 7 months, 7 days. He moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem after 70 years. Okay? That's pretty crazy. All right, this is the crazy one. We all know the rapture will be on the Feast of Trumpets. Just to give you a little heads up, that's next weekend. So I don't believe it's this year, or we'd have more of a sensation of it. But when the time comes, it's going to be on Feast of Trumpets. I don't have time to preach on all that, but maybe I will up in Lexington. It's obvious when the rapture will be on Feast of Trumpets. Okay, our president's name is Trump. Our vice president's name is Pence. Our president and vice president's name mean the rapture of the church. Trumpets. Trumpets. Good night, everybody. Drive safe. Start the car. I'll be right there. I'll do Elvis on that one. Here we go. People go. I don't really like that. Well, whatever. I mean, how crazy to have a little nation raised up that's a couple hundred years old, and their president and vice president mean the coming of the Lord. Wow. With the generation that all the signs of the coming of the Lord are there. So what do we do as a church? And we're so ballistically in. We don't fit church into our life. It is our life. And now's the part where you don't get mad at me. Hang with me. Everybody with me for just a couple seconds, okay? In the church in California I was in for years, I had this wonderful buddy. Brought so many visitors. Great guy. But he'd come to church once every 3 months. Nowadays, people come to church once a month and think that's wonderful. No, you can't sustain yourself eating once a month. Feed a baby once a month and see how it grows. Feed a baby twice in 2 months, see how it grows. No, his growth would be retarded. Most people are spiritually retarded. I listen to Kenneth Hagin, I listen to John Osteen, I listen to stuff on YouTube all during the week because one meal a week doesn't really sustain you. How many of you at your workplace and you walk in and they go, "Hey, greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world"? I've never been to a job where they went like that and go, "Oh, by the way, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Come on, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. You got it in you, man. You can do it. You're an overcomer." No, most places you work, it's just darkness. So you've got to radically feed yourself now. Yes. You've got to pray in tongues more than you've ever prayed in tongues. Yeah. I mean, you can say it. You can start preaching and people's eyes start rolling. I mean, like, whatever. You think so? Oh, man, come on. Communication. 57% of communication is facial expression. I can say you need to pray in tongues more. Some people go, whatever. I'm telling you, you need to pray in tongues more than you've ever prayed in tongues. There's a commission and a mission from your pastors. I think of Pastor Jay and Pastor Amy, zero guile, no hidden agenda other than to bless you and strengthen you. You have an opportunity to beg people to come, and with the spirit of faith that's on them, they can get altered in one service. Used to, it might take 6 months, might take 6 years. You can hear the word now, and there's such a punch to it that it'll turn you into a bulldog for heaven. Ah, the greater one's in me, not the lesser one, the greater one. And you start barking like a dog. What's wrong with you, man? No, there's so much victory in you that what you're dealing with is nothing compared to what you have in you.
Amen.
Guy I used to work for, he said, I'd rather go to a John Wayne movie than a dead church. At least you know John Wayne's going to win. No, you got to recognize right now why God raised you up. As a church, as a people, is to be different. So much mercy, so much kindness, so much power, so much miracles. That there's a, I don't want to call it a pressure on us, but there's a destiny on us to do what we're called to do. I like something Pastor Jay texted me the other day about a realignment for our focus on what Jesus has for us. Watch the Holy Spirit in the next few years, literally, quietly and sweetly and confidently press things in you to push you forward with God. Where all of a sudden you're decreeing things like you may have done 20 years ago. Decreeing things like literally like Jesus' voice is coming through your voice. I wish you could hear that. I wish I could say that to where it'd get to you better. I'm talking about heaven wants to speak through you. Heaven wants to minister through you. You are his hands. You're the only hands he has are you. I'm stopping right now. It's 10 till 12, so just hang with me a couple more minutes. 2 minutes, 3 minutes. When I'm preaching in Europe all the time, I have an interpreter. I'm completely dependent on my interpreter hooking up with me and representing the words I'm trying to say. Some nations I go to, it's so horrible that I'm like, oh my God, I got to do 7 hours on Friday, 8 hours on Saturday, and my interpreter doesn't have a clue what I'm talking about. I preached in Czech Republic on gifts of the Spirit. My interpreter's going. I said, you've never even heard of this, have you? Nope, haven't heard of it. I was like, oh, Jesus. That's one thing. But to have another thing like when you go, I tell you, he's coming again. And the interpreter goes, I tell you, he's coming again. It just doesn't have the same kick to it. And see, right now, you've got heaven going, I'm about to come back. And the church is going, he's about to come back. Jesus is standing there, brighter than the noonday sun. Come on. I mean, God himself physically coming back to the planet, and the church is responding, I think he might be coming soon. No, have the same punch. Have the same strength as those eyes as a flame of fire. Feet like undefined brass. Voice of many waters. We're so privileged. I'm saying all of this because he loves you so much. He wants you to just walk in full stride right here before he comes. I mean, if you could lay out how we would know, you'd go, wow, God goes, okay, I'll give you this sign, this sign, this sign, this sign, this sign, so that you're comfortable with about to see him. I'm excited because I'm going to get a glorified body, never get tired again, never gain weight again. If you can't get excited about that. Woo, come on, man. I know. Just the thought of never gaining weight again. Woo, glory. Come, Lord Jesus. Now let's bow our heads before we go. Lord, we love you. We're so amazed at your mercy, so amazed at your kindness. Father, help us represent you as we ought. Father, we thank you for full force representation, the manifestation of the resurrection, the demonstration of the life of the Father through the Son as he came out of the grave. We thank you for it, Father. Thank you for what you have for this church, Lord. Pastor Jay and Pastor Amy, all of us in this church, Lord, we thank you for this season of launching, a season of expansion, a season of grace, a season of wild boldness. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, I'm excited for you. When as a traveling guy, you come in, you kind of sniff things out, like where's the congregation at, or... And you can sense this radical faith in your church. Like no weakness. Some churches you go in, you just sense a weakness. That means a misunderstanding for what happened when Jesus was raised from the dead. There's no misunderstanding. We got it. Hey, real quick before we go, I know it's almost 12. It's 7 minutes till 12. If you're here and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, maybe you've come and someone invited you. Man, how cool to get saved right before the coming of the Lord. And if you're a visitor, please come back and hear Pastor Jay. Don't judge the church on a traveling guy. But maybe you're here and you've never asked Jesus into your heart. I want to pray with you today. Say, that's me. Pray for me. I want to be saved. I want to give my life to the Lord. With the uplifted hand, say, that's me. I want to ask Jesus into my heart. How cool to get saved right before the coming of the Lord. What a great birthday. All right, looks like everybody's saved. How cool is that? We're all family. How about be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Say, I'm saved, but I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. What do you mean? Well, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, Acts 2, Acts 9, Acts 11, Acts 19, they were all filled. If you're here and you've never done it, don't be embarrassed. Jesus said you'd be endued with power, not weirdness. Power. If you're here this morning, you want to do it this morning, just lift your hand up. Say, that's me. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You can get filled today. Hallelujah. How cool would that be? I was in Boise this year in Mark and Amy Bower's church. First service I preached in, 30 people got filled with the Holy Spirit. Second service, nobody. The next service, 30-some more got filled. The next service, another 30-some. 90 people in four services. Orlando, 28 people filled one service. On a Wednesday night, Oakland, Texas, 58 people filled with the Holy Spirit. There was not enough room to even have them come down and have them get filled in their seat. So there's a whole new crop of people that are coming in. So if you haven't gotten filled, don't be embarrassed. We've all come into this at the very end. So if you're here and you've never done it, you don't have to do it. They do it whenever you want. I don't care when you do it. I don't get out in your car, lay hands on your own head, and say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. I don't care if you do it in here. I don't care where you do it. You just need it. He loves you. Let's thank him for a second, then we'll go. Lord, we love you. We bless you. We thank you for your goodness and your kindness. Lord, we're so grateful. So grateful you died for us. So grateful that we have all these signs of your return. Help us accelerate. Help us as we see the finish line, we run faster, not slower. We thank you for it. We give you glory, give you honor, and give you praise. Hey, you know, as we're walking out, some lady here, you got trouble with your fallopian tubes. You don't have to raise your hand. Some kind of damage in your fallopian tubes. Now, you're being healed. So cool. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And this other one is super common. Whiplash. I don't know if it's a car wreck. I don't know what it was. You may have fell. I don't know what it was, but your neck's been healed. Lord, thank you for taking care of those tubes and taking care of someone's neck. Thank you for that, Lord. Praise God. You know, I'll have a word of knowledge, and I don't make a big fanfare out of it. You know, I just call it out. One time in Monty Knudsen's church in Mount Pleasant, I called out a word of knowledge that someone can't write. I've never even heard of that. I said, somebody here, you can't write. Finished the service. I just called it out like that. This guy walked up to me about 30 years old. He and his mother and his father, and they were crying like babies. I thought I may have said something to offend them, you know, because I usually try to say something to offend somebody. So he was crying, and I didn't want him sad. I said, buddy, what's going on? He goes, I've never written before in my life. He had a disease like dyslexia, never written before in his life. He said, I called that out, and he wrote a poem about the coming of the Lord right there. So it doesn't have to be flash. It doesn't have to be fanfare. You can just call it out. Someone here, you got symptoms of nodules on the inside of your nose. They're dissolving right now inside your nose. The Lord, thank you for healing that person. Cool. Cool, cool, cool. And the fallopian tube person would be a woman. Amen. I called out in Newport, Rhode Island. There's one with cysts on her ovaries. This man walked down. I'll never forget it as long as I live. Newport, Rhode Island. I said, there's cysts on your ovaries. This man walks down. I said, no, it doesn't work like that. And this guy goes, I used to be a girl. And I was like, what? And it was a girl that had been turned into a guy, got the cysts off her ovaries. The doctor gave her a report. The cysts were gone. I told my office, don't lose that praise report. That was pretty cool. Look how much God loves this person. That it was a girl turned into a guy, and the Lord still healed the cysts on her ovaries, or his ovaries, or whatever he is. Newport, Rhode Island, never forget that. Let's thank him, then we'll go. Lord, we love you. We love you. We bless you. We magnify you. Father, thank you for your goodness. Bless this congregation, Lord. Bless them, strengthen them. As we go into the fall, Lord, 2019, be the best year they've ever had, in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Sure appreciate you coming. You guys are so easy to preach to. Thanks for being